We're going to read Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read, starting reading at verse 14, and hear the word of the Lord today. Now he, this is Jesus, he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some said, so in other words, there were some doubters, some said, he casts out demons by Beelzebul. And that's also can be pronounced Beelzebub. There's a reason why sometimes it comes out Beelzebul, sometimes Beelzebub. I won't go into that. But he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. While others to test him kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan is also divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And then he says something this isn't really my text per se in verse 19, but he says something interesting that I'll explain a little later. He says, if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? And I will explain that. It's a very sarcastic comment. It's a very interesting comment. Therefore, they will be your judges. Verse 20. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And then he says in verse 21, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. I'm going to explain that passage today. Verse 23, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So I want to just break this passage down verse by verse like we always do. But if I want to title this thought today, I would like to title this, Jesus, there is no neutral position. There is no neutral position. So let's go to the Lord. God, we're so thankful for your word. We ask that you would just open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears. Lord, let your word go down inside us, Lord. And for those that are listening online, Lord, for Sister Kaufman and for Brother Christopher, Lord, we pray that they would also, Lord, that your word would touch all of us today, God, whether we're here physically or whether we're here virtually by online. Lord, touch us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. And you can be seated today. And I apologize, but I'm going to very rudely take a drink of water here. He starts off in verse 14 and he says something that I want to clarify here. He says, it says here that he was casting out a demon that was mute. And when the demon had gone out, the man spoke. And this isn't what I want to preach about, but I want to straighten something out here today. There have been critics of the Bible that, you know, people that want to find fault in the Bible, whether they be atheists or agnostics, they say, well, see here, if you believe in the Bible's telling you that if you're mute, that it's not a medical condition, but that you're possessed by a devil. But that we know nowadays that, you know, being a mute is more of a medical condition. It's not, you know, you're not possessed by a devil. And then people that are extremely on the other side, that would be your extreme, extreme, extreme fundamentalists. I've heard people that believe, they basically believe all sickness is of the devil. And that if you've got any kind of sickness, it's actually a demon doing in you doing that. And that they've got to pray the demon out of you so that you'll get better again. Well, I'm here to tell you that neither one of those positions are correct. Neither one of those positions are correct. Okay? Just because you get sick doesn't mean you've got a demon. Just, you know, in fact, I've known people that weren't sick at all that, to be quite honest with you, I thought they were, well, I mean, that's another sermon for another day. But let me just say this here. To people that would say, well, the Bible can't be true because you know, the Bible's here saying that if you're mute, that means you've got a demon. No, the Bible doesn't say that. And let me ask you a question. When you look in the Bible, in other places, when somebody was demon possessed, did the symptoms of their demon possession, were they being manifested 100% of the time? No. No. Remember that boy and his dad? Remember Jesus came down off the Mount of Transfiguration? And the rest of the disciples were there with a man and his son. And the son, and he says, you know, when the demon comes on. He says, when the spirit comes on, my son, he tries to throw himself in the fire. In other words, it wasn't all the time. And you can find several places in the Bible where people had. You can find a place where a man was in the temple. And he would go in the temple just like all the other worshipers. But on occasion, there was a spirit that would take control of him. And so I will say that there are people that are just born mute and they can't speak because it's a medical condition. It's something they were born with, okay? But in this particular case, I think my opinion is this man could speak, but there were times that he could not. He could speak, but there were times that when the evil spirit would come upon him, that he would not be able to speak. And so I just want to talk about that. But let's go to verse 15 and 16. So Jesus casts out this devil, and the man begins speaking, and it says that the people marveled. And verse 15, it says, some of them said, well, Jesus casts out demons by Beelzebul. In other words, Jesus is using a devil to cast out a devil. This is not of God. He's using a devil to cast out a devil. While others were still doubting him and saying, listen, we're glad that you did this, but we need another sign from heaven. We need some kind of a sign from heaven to prove that you're really Messiah. And so you had these groups that were divided. One group says, oh, Jesus, you're doing this by the power of the devil. And then others that are saying, well, Jesus, you did this, but we still don't know if we believe in you. You're going to have to give us another sign. And they just wanted more proof. And if you look in verse 17, Jesus starts explaining this. And Jesus says, he says, every kingdom that's divided against itself is laid waste. And a divided household falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? What he was telling them is, you say I'm casting out a demon by using a demon. No, you can't. A kingdom divided can never stand. It would be the equivalent of a general going into war with his army and then commanding, you know, these troops over here, rather than to attack the enemy, to command some of his troops to attack, you know, the rest of his troops. That, you know, that kind of, you're never going to win a war if you're fighting against yourself. You understand? And that's one of the things that I love here in Hillsboro. And I pray that we've always had such a good spirit of unity in this church. We've always had such a good spirit of unity in here. I don't walk in and have an undercurrent that hits me in the face. I've been in churches to where you can almost feel an undercurrent where people, you can tell people that there's not rest. There's not peace. There's not unity. And Jesus says, every kingdom that's divided against itself is laid waste. And thank God, I thank God every day for the unity that we have in this church. Amen? And, but he says, you know what? There's no way. He said, there's no way I'm doing this. There's no way I'm casting out a devil with another devil. Because that no kingdom divided against itself can stand. And then he says something really sarcastic. He basically says, let's walk down this road for a moment here. In verse number 19, he says, let's walk down this road for a second. You guys say that I'm casting out devils by the devil Beelzebul. Okay? Let's just walk down that road. If I'm casting out devils by Beelzebul, then what are your sons using to cast their demons out? And you say, well, what, Brother Wiggins, what's he saying? I'm going to give you my opinion, and it's kind of interesting, at least interesting to me. You had, in those days, Jewish exorcists, okay? You had Jewish exorcists that would go to people that were supposed to be demon-possessed. And here's the way it worked. And in fact, Bill, get me that reference out of Acts 19. Give me that reference out of Acts 19. So, Sister Kristen, you would go to Brian and say, "Now, Brian, you're in really bad shape. You got a devil, and I'm going to cast for the small price of $199. We're having our summer sale right now. For $199, I'm going to cast that devil out of you, plus shipping and handling. There are a few additional costs. Yes, a few additional costs." But that is what happened. In fact, look at Acts 19. In Acts 19, it says God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that touched his skin were carried out, were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. And then look at this. Some of the itinerant means traveling. The King James Version calls it vagabond Jews. Just means traveling. Some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, okay, undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over them who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims." And it says, seven sons of a what? Can I just go out on a limb here and give you my speculation? Kristen, we're going to make me the high priest, okay? You're the exorcist. You're charging Brian $199. Now, Kristen, let's just be honest. And you're not going to get offended here, but you're a fake. As an exorcist, you would be a fake, right? If you were a Jewish exorcist. And let me put it this way. These guys were fakes, right? So if you were one of them, I'm the high priest. Shouldn't I do something about that? I'm not going to do anything about that. Why? Kristen, you can, as long as you kick some of that $199 from Brian upstairs to me, I'm going to be totally cool. You can, you know what? In fact, after you get done casting a devil out of Brian, why don't you go ahead and you know, Sister Eunice has been kind of scaring me lately. Maybe you can get another $199. That's what was going on here. So Jesus, that it was a corrupt Jewish system that took advantage of people that were suffering and that were in need, saying, "Yeah, oh, you've got a problem. Yeah, you've got a problem. We can fix that problem, but you're going to have to kick up a little bit of money." And that's how these guys were making money. And so that's why Jesus said, if you'll go back to that one passage there, Brother Bill, where Jesus says, "Oh, so if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, what are your sons that are filling your pockets and their own pockets with all this money? What spirit are they using?" That's what Jesus was saying. Okay, are you following me? That's why, see that, the sarcasm in Jesus' voice saying, yeah, you know, when you have your guys out there going around filling their pockets full of money, getting money from people, saying that they're casting out devils, what spirit do they use? You know, I want to tell you, I don't want to go off on a rabbit trail here, but do y'all remember a year or two ago I told you I go to this place, it's called Sports Clips, and you get a haircut. And remember I told you, you guys remember I said that the lady that cut my hair is really good. She gives the best haircut I just about ever had, but that she was a psychic. She was into psychic healing. And she would also go and cast out evil spirits. You guys remember me telling? And I can remember at the time, I was thinking about her this when I was preparing this message, because she told me, she goes, "Yeah," she goes, if you know anybody that's got bad evil spirits in their house or anything, you call me. I got her cell number. She gave me her cell number, said, "You call me and I'll come over there and I'll get rid of all those bad spirits out of your house." And I... And here's the problem. Here was the quandary that I was in. Is I really wanted to talk to her because I could tell spiritually she's hungry. But on the other hand, what I was going to present would be in total opposition to what she believes. And you don't rile up. There's two people you don't rile up. You don't rile up the waitress who serves you your food. Don't make her mad. Believe me. And don't rile up the person that's cutting your hair. So I wanted to just really just say, you know what? We need to talk. And I really wanted to. But I thought, man, I'll come out of there and man, I'll probably have a mohawk or something, you know. Well, she wasn't cutting hair anymore. She sent me a text and told me that she was sick. And she says, I'm not cutting hair because I'm sick right now. And I went in a couple of weeks ago to get my hair cut. And I asked the manager of that place was cutting my hair. And I said, hey, what about so-and-so? I said, when's she coming back? And she said, there was another girl in the next chair that was cutting hair. She looked at me and she said, I don't know that she's going to be back. And I said, well, what's wrong? And she just looked away and wouldn't answer. And the manager that was cutting my hair, she said, we're not supposed to say anything. But she says, since you know her, it's stage 4. Stage 4. And she's just got weeks. And I'm going to tell you right now, when she was talking about doing all of these psychic healings and all of, listen, I'm not here to throw her under the bus. That was a girl that was spiritually hungry and searching and wanting something. And I thought to myself, would to God I could have that to do over again, because I would have loved to have talked to her and have a spiritual conversation. Because I would love to live that one over again. I would love to live that one over again. I will never have another chance to talk to her. And when I sat in that chair that day, I was too concerned about her getting mad at me and messing my hair up. If I had it to do that over again, I would have loved to have talked to her. I never knew. That day that she was cutting my hair, she already had cancer right then and there. Neither one of us knew it. And I'm thinking, would to God I could do that one over. But that's what was going on in this verse. Jesus says, you know what? He says, what are your sons? And then he tells them in verse 20, he says, if it is by the finger of God, this is Jesus talking. He says, if it's by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then you know that the kingdom of God has come unto you. I think most of us realize this. Jesus was hearkening back to the book of Exodus. And if you remember when Moses threw down his rod and it turned into a snake and Pharaoh summoned the magicians. And I think we might have even covered this before in here. The magicians came and they threw down their staffs and what happened? They became serpents. And then Moses' serpent ate theirs. And remember the water changed to blood and all of those. And when it got down to the gnats, if you look in Exodus chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, it says that the magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So they threw down their rods and they became serpents some way or another by some sleight of hand or whatever, I don't know. But they managed to produce something. But when it came to these gnats, they could not do anything. And if you look at verse 19, it says, then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Jesus was saying, listen, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, then you know that the kingdom of God has come to you. He was hearkening back to the book of Exodus and saying, listen, the same power. Jesus was the better Moses. Moses was a type of Christ. He was a type of Jesus. Jesus was the better Moses. And so Jesus was basically saying, listen, if I am Moses in that story, who would the magicians be? The Jewish exorcists. You see how these verses are now kind of tying together a little bit, kind of tying together again. And I also wonder just in my mind if Jesus could have possibly been referring to the eighth psalm. If you look at the eighth psalm, Psalm 8 in verse 1, it starts off saying, "Our Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And then in verse 3, the psalmist says this. He says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, and the stars which you have set in place." The psalmist said, "Lord, when I look at the sky and I see the sun and the moon and all these stars, and I realize that they are the work of your fingers, Lord. The work of your fingers." And Jesus was saying, if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then you know that the moon, that the kingdom of God has come. And then he says this in verse 21 and 22. He tells them, "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil." Has anybody ever read that and wondered what is exactly was Jesus? It almost sounded like Jesus changed the subject, doesn't it? No, they're still on the same subject. They had told him, they said, "Listen, you're casting out devils by the devil." And Jesus is saying, "Listen, there's two sides here at work. And you see that strong man? If you want to try to understand this passage, let's just let Satan be the strong man. Okay? Let's just do that. Can we walk down this road for a minute? When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe." So in other words, Satan had a kingdom. Satan had people that were in his control. In fact, Satan had a guy that was in that had a mute spirit and was in his control. You understand? And Jesus was saying, "Listen, when a strong man has everything locked up, his goods are safe, until verse 22, until one stronger than he." So who's the one that's stronger? Jesus. Jesus is saying, "Listen, when a strong man, when Satan, he's got his possessions, he's got his kingdom, he's got everything. He says, but when one stronger than he," that's Jesus, "attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil." What Jesus was saying is, "Listen, there are two sides here. You guys are saying that I'm casting out demons by a demon. No, listen, I'm not. There's two different sides here. There's the strong man, and then there's the stronger man. And Jesus Christ was the stronger one. He was the stronger man. He was the stronger one. And he basically was saying here, "Listen, I have come to tear down the kingdom that Satan has." You know how the Old Testament prophecy, speaking of Christ, says, "Those that sit in darkness shall see a great light." Amen. Those that used to be enemies of God are now going to become the people of God. Because Jesus is saying, "Listen, I am coming, and now that I'm coming, I'm going to tear his kingdom down, and a new kingdom is going to be inaugurated. A new kingdom is going to be set up. And we are living in and part of this kingdom." I think I've used this verse before when I've taught, but let me use this again and remind you of it. Again, in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, he sent out 72. Some translations say 70, some say 72. I kind of believe it's 72 is correct. It says the 72, he sent them out and he told them, he said, "Heal the sick, cast out devils, preach that the kingdom of God is at hand." In other words, preach that the kingdom of God is right coming right now. It's coming right now. It's being set up. And they came back. It says the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." For so many years, what I thought that passage meant, I thought Jesus was referring back to some ancient battle years ago, you know, before, you know, before man, you know, the Satan war in heaven and Satan cast out of heaven and all that. That's what I believed for decades, but that's not what Jesus is saying here. Let me tell you what Jesus was saying. They came back and they said, Lord, we've been out preaching and we've been praying in your name and we're preaching everywhere. And even the devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus was saying, yeah, while you guys were out there preaching, while you guys were out there teaching, while you guys were out there healing the sick, I was watching Satan fall like lightning from heaven. In other words, he said, I was watching. When you were out there preaching, when you were out there proclaiming my name, I was watching his kingdom begin to come down, begin to fall. He said, while you were doing that, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That's the strong, Jesus is the stronger man. Jesus is the stronger man, if you will. And then the last verse that we're going to cover today, and this is really the one that I tied in with my title. He says, whoever is not with me, this is verse 23, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. If you'll follow this passage all the way through, again, they told him, you're casting out devils by a devil. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm not doing that. But there are two kingdoms here. There's my kingdom, and there is the kingdom of darkness. And then Jesus said, whoever is not with me is against me. Brother Wiggins, what was Jesus saying? Let me tell you what Jesus was saying. There is no neutral position with Jesus Christ. When it comes to Jesus Christ, there is no neutral position. You're either for him or against him. And I've heard people, well, I believe in Jesus, but. Or I've heard people say, you know, I you know what, Jesus, man, he lived 2,000 years ago. That was, I have no position. Yeah, you do. Jesus said, he said, you're either with me or you're against me. There is no neutral. You cannot be neutral on Jesus Christ. And people, I've talked to people that say, you know what, I believe in Jesus Christ, but come on, the virgin birth, born of a virgin, come on. Do you really believe that? To reject the virgin birth is to reject Jesus Christ. I've talked to other people, I believe in Jesus, but come on. Died and was buried for 3 days and rose again after 3 days. Are you expect? I believe in Jesus. I believe in all the good things he said. He said so many good things that are good principles for us to live by. He was such a great teacher, but I just don't know if I believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus. Whoever's not with you, there is no neutral position. There is no neutral position with Jesus Christ. There is no neutral position with him. You know, I'll just tell you, church, I believe the whole thing. I believe the whole thing. I believe in the sufficiency of the scripture. I believe that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know those verses. We can all quote them from memory just about out of Genesis 1. I believe that, folks. I believe the whole thing. I believe John 1:1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh yeah, I believe every word of that. John also wrote an epistle, 1 John, where he says, that which was from the beginning. It's funny how John starts off his gospel and his epistle with the same kind of concept. That which was from the beginning, which we have touched with our hands, which we've seen with our eyes. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and saying he was from the beginning. Folks, I believe it all. You can't just say, well, man, I believe in Jesus, but. I remember I had a biology teacher, and man, he was a cool guy. I had a biology teacher in college. He was a cool guy. And he told the class, I liked him, one of my favorite teachers, but he told the, but I got a C in that class. And, you know, that kind of bugs me a little bit, but I'll think about that later. But I can remember him getting up and telling the class, and he said, this is biology. He says, but I believe in the Bible. I believe in God. He goes, and I'm a Christian. And I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. I don't want anybody to have to be lost. But here's what he told the class. He said, I believe in all of that. He said, I believe that the Bible is mostly true and mostly accurate. Can I tell you that as a Christian, you will do the cause of Christ more damage saying that than you will than an atheist saying, I don't believe the Bible at all. You know what? Either all of it's true or none of it's true. I believe in the whole thing, folks. I believe in the whole thing. You look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul told Timothy, he said, understand this, that in the last days, there's going to come times of difficulty. The King James says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And, you know, King James, it says, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Goes on down the list of all this stuff. And then it says in verse 5, it says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Let me explain something to you about this verse. The word power and the word authority in the Greek are used almost interchangeably. Remember when they came to Jesus? Remember when they said, they asked Jesus, or they even asked the disciples, they said, by what power do you do these miracles? Or by what authority do you do miracles? Okay? And so take this word power, and for a moment, I don't want to lead you astray here, but take this word power and substitute the word authority. That they have the appearance of godliness, but they deny God's authority over them. It's just like somebody, yes, I believe in Jesus, but they want a Savior, they want a healer, they want a deliverer, but they don't want a Lord that's going to show them how to live. And you know what, folks? I'm all in today. Jesus says, he that's not for me is against me. You know what? I want to be all in. I want to be all in. You can't. Let's all stand. Now, and I don't mean to end this on a lighthearted, carnal note. But I want to illustrate a point here. Brother Carl, have you ever had just maybe like a little touch of the flu? Or maybe you didn't get it full blown, but you just had a little touch of it, right? And you just, hey man, I don't feel that good, but I'm going to go work. So, you know, you can get a little touch of the flu or a little touch of cold, right? Yeah. I remember I'll change the names to protect the guilty. There was a girl that me and Sister Wiggins had known for years, and it's a family. It's a very good family, but one of the girls, I mean, it was just like she would just always, like a compulsive, I hate to say this, a compulsive liar, just always not saying stuff that was true. And her mom went to this baby shower, and they asked her, they said, oh, you're here, but your daughter... Where's your daughter? I'll make up a name. Rhonda. How's that? Okay. They said, where's Rhonda? Is she not going to be here today? And this mother said, oh, Rhonda. And Rhonda's the one that's the compulsive. You know. She said, yeah. I talked to Rhonda. She said she's not going to be able to come. She's just got a little touch of leukemia. True story. Said she's just got a little touch of leukemia. It's flaring up. She'll be all right in a few days. And one of the ladies that was sitting in the shower said, no, you don't get just a little touch of leukemia. You've either got it or you don't. I mean, could you imagine going up to a woman and saying, "Are you pregnant?" And her saying, "A little." No, you can't be a little bit pregnant. You are either pregnant or you're not. That's what Jesus was saying. Bill, if you can put the verse on the screen one more time, that last verse. He said, either you're with me or you're against me. There is no middle ground. If you're not with me, you're against me. And I want to encourage all of us today. Let's be in this thing all the way. Let's be in this thing all the way. Let me put it to you this way. And then this is another carnal illustration that I'm going to make. If life was a game of blackjack, and I was sitting at the blackjack table, and the hand that I was dealt was Jesus Christ and his word. Church, I'm taking all my chips and I'm pushing them forward. I'm putting it all on the line. I'm not holding anything back. I believe this. And we're living in times when there's a lot of voices out there that are trying to confuse people into questioning things. And not, I'm telling you, I'm pushing all my chips forward today. All of my life, all of my future, all of my tomorrows, I'm pushing it all out and staking it on Jesus Christ and his word. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I bless your name. God, I bless your name, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You just stay where you are today. We're not going to come forward. Sister Wiggins, if you just sing a little song and let's just pray and let your mind be on the Lord for a few moments. Oh, Jesus.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Take my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself, I give myself. give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so
going to pray a prayer of dismissal here, but before we do, I want to just make one comment here. And this hasn't happened yet completely in its entirety. But remember how we were reading about the strong man's stuff is safe until a stronger man comes in and takes it. We are reading that out of Luke today. I'm not going to name any names, but I've got a very close relative, and I'm a little emotional about this. I've got a very close relative that years ago shut their Bible and pushed back away and walked away from God and has lived their life as a non-Christian for, oh man, probably 25 years or more. And you know, I pray for this person every morning. Been praying for him for a long time. This person is in, again, the strong man has her, but there is a stronger man. And did you know, this Friday I called this relative and was talking to this relative of mine. And she said, "Tim, you're never going to believe what I've started doing." And I thought, oh my, knowing what you've done the last 25 years, what am I going to hear now? She said, "Tim, she goes, "This is going to be a surprise for you, especially coming from me." She says, "But I've started reading my Bible again." And she said, "The weirdest thing," she goes, "I'm studying about the post-resurrection Jesus, what He was, you know, things that he did and said after his resurrection." I said, "Well, that's not a bad place to start." And she said, "You know, I had a friend that had it's a long story. She has a friend that has a family crisis, and her friend was talking to her sister on the phone, and they were crying. And her sister was crying because they were going to have to put their dad in a nursing home. And Sherry said, "You know, I told my friend, 'You know what? Your sister's so broken up. Let me talk to her on the phone.'" And she told me, she said, "Tim, you're not going to believe this, but I got to talking with this person on the phone, and out of nowhere, before I even knew what I was doing, I asked her, 'Do you want me to pray with you?' And she said, I began to pray, and she says, 'Tim, I haven't prayed in years. And when I began to pray,' she said, I was just so overcome with emotion. She said, I just broke down and began to cry on the phone." You know, I want to tell you something. There's a strong man. But don't ever forget, there's a stronger man. And Jesus says, when the stronger man comes, he can take away from the strong man and bring it into his kingdom. Jesus Christ is the stronger man. I want to encourage you to pray for your lost loved ones. Pray for your lost loved ones. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, so thankful for you. God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God.